Adonai Elohim, Abba Father. Adonai Elohim, Mighty God. Adonai Elohim, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. For you are faithful, Father. You are faithful. Forgive us. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us for touching those things that promote self. Lord, forgive us for not denying ourselves. Forgive us for words and thoughts and deeds. Forgive us for not paying the price. Forgive us for every area that we've offended you. Have mercy upon us. Let your grace abound and wash us with the blood of Christ, with the stripes of Jesus. Yes. Lift your hands to heaven. Lift your hands to heaven and receive. Even right now. Lift your hands to heaven and receive healing. Receive freedom. Look at the price he paid for you on the cross. The shadow overshadows you. You are covered by the cross of Christ. You are covered by the price he paid. You are covered by the blood of the Lamb. You are covered by his love, by his presence. Receive today your inheritance. Receive today revelation, healing, deliverance, and provision. Receive today new wine. New wine and fresh oil. New wine to get you drunk and fresh oil to burn as a light. Yes, let your light so shine that it blinds darkness. It blinds. It is a blinder to the evil realm, but it is a light unto your path. Yes, Master. Yes, we speak peace, protection, and prosperity to Jerusalem and Israel, your Jewish people. For troubles are going to begin soon there, and we must stand and gap for them. Troubles will begin. Disasters are to bring people to God, not chase them away. Troubles, disasters. Oh, there will be a false prosperity that will come, and it will be a temporary thing. It will last for so long, and then sudden disasters, sudden things will begin to happen. But don't worry, because your salvation draws nigh. Hallelujah. He will scoop us up and he will remove us. But in the meantime, we must be a flame of fire. We must be a carrier of truth. We must be backed by the anointing with no fear. And we must be able to discern time, season, and spirits, that we may walk in the path of truth and rescue those whom the Lord has assigned to us, that he may be glorified. Glorified. So we welcome you, Holy Spirit. Come, teach us. Come, open eyes and ears and hearts. Come, let the mind, the heart, and the will, and the desire of Christ be manifested. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and let your presence bring a refreshing here. Let the glory of the Lord be manifested here. Heal your people, Father. Let the waves of glory flow through this house. Let the rivers of life come forth, that we may drink afresh tonight. And be empowered to be about your business in truth, spirit, and in power in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah. Would you turn your Bible to John chapter 10, please? John 10. It's good to hear the pages turning on a Tuesday night. Those of you who were here Sunday outside, brave, strong soldiers of God, fought through. Hallelujah. In John chapter 10 and verse 1, is everybody there? Let's read this together, please. Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Now, this is so very powerful, because I'm going to share a couple quick things here. First of all, he is the voice of truth. He is the voice of truth, and that's tonight's teaching, the voice of truth. The voice that speaks truth leads to truth and is the truth. Does everybody got it? It is called the voice of truth. The voice of the stranger is not truth. It is the voice of deception that promotes the will of self. It is the voice of deception that promotes the will of self. The voice of truth denies self and promotes the will of God. Does everybody? But the voice of deception promotes self. Does everybody got it? And wants to do the will of self. And we know that self is the offspring of darkness. Is everybody okay? Now it says that you and I will know the voice of the shepherd. Now, there's two areas in this, because there is the spiritual shepherd that we know his voice. And not all the time is it about the voice, but we know the fruits. We know the unction. We know the leading of the Spirit. God doesn't always speak. Does everybody understand? There's times when he'll show you something and you'll be led. You'll know certain things. There's an unction. And not all the time is he saying something. Sometimes he's just showing something. And there's the voice of the shepherd. Now, this may sound strange to you, but there's the voice of the shepherd of the flock where God puts you in. There'll be many times that you will hear the shepherd's voice. You'll be in places, and you will actually think that this shepherd is there, because it's the voice of the shepherd. I'll never forget many times when I was in fellowship, and my pastor, who was Benny Hinn, and when I was involved over there in that ministry, and I would go places and I would hear his voice, because it was telling me certain things teaching. Man, you hear enough of the teachings of the voice of the shepherd, but see, it's not really that person. It's the voice of God, but coming into the natural realm, you get accustomed to the voice of the shepherd. So you're going to be, man, as many teachings as you get and so forth, you're going to be in places and you may hear this voice of the shepherd saying something. I've had people call me and tell me, man, I was out there using and doing stuff, and I kept hearing your voice. I would run to another room to try to avoid your voice. Man, I'm telling you, I hear this all the time. That's all I kept hearing. My fear was that you would walk in. Because in that place of covering, in that place of shepherding, because a man cannot shepherd God's flock. Only the true shepherd can. Does everybody understand that? But God uses a vessel to shepherd a flock. Amen. But it isn't the man's ability, it's the anointing. It's the anointing. And there'll be times when you will hear the voice of the shepherd, not only the unction of the Lord, but where you are covered. And that is so important, because so many people are trying to be covered in so many places, they can't hear the voice of the shepherd. Because there's confusion. Is everybody okay? Oh, hallelujah. They didn't understand because of the voices of the soul. Now, we've been talking about burning through the soul. And we talked about that Sunday. It was very, very powerful. And I think that we need to expand a little bit more about this. And that's, so hear the voice. There are voices of the soul. And we know that the soul is made up the mind, will, emotions, and imaginations. And it's associated with self. That's why it must be converted, transformed. And in this, we see that Jesus knew that they didn't understand because of the voices of their soul that are drowning out the voice of truth. The voices of the soul, I'm going to give you an example. Memories of past. Memories of the past. Memories of the past, emotions or feelings. Has everybody got it? Emotions or feelings of the past. And desires or wants or choices, which is the will of the present. They promote self until converted, transformed, or restored. Again, I want to repeat this because it's important. Because everything that's associated with me and you is associated with memory. You live by memory. Are you listening? You live by memory. Everything that you react to or respond to is associated with memory. Memory. Everything is memory. And in this, there's voices in memory, because these voices promote emotional attachments. They promote emotion. They promote feelings. They promote desires. They cause us to make wrong choices. They cause us to follow the voice of the stranger when we think it's the voice of the shepherd. But see, because these voices are much more, because of memory, they're much more in us, in our soulish arena. That's why individuals are always chasing a feeling. They chase a feeling because a voice tells them to. It brings a memory of comfort. It brings a memory of something. So in this, in the soulish realm, these voices must be broke through. I want to say cauterized. Say cauterized. It's like being, the heart must be circumcised. Amen. Remember when Jesus, we talked about this before, that Jesus was in the garden, remember? And what did he do? He prayed, but when he prayed, he sweat huge drops of blood because he had to burn through his soul. And as you and I are burning through the soul, we are cauterizing. We are severing. We are stopping the voices of memory in the soulish arena. Does everybody understand this? These are voices of memory. Memory of what? Past. Past circumstances, past events, past feelings, past taste of things. All things associated with memory. You know, you start speaking to somebody about some kind of food and your mouth begins to water. That's the power of memory, isn't it? Now, do you think the enemy knows that? Yes, he does. See, he can only control you by memory. Come on, are you getting this? He can only control you by memory. That's why when somebody comes to you, the first thing you want to say is, well, you did this. Why? Because you're trying to bring them back to a memory to justify your stupidity. Hello? Come on, think about it. Everything is associated with memory. We live in this realm by memory. So if the soulish arena
is attached to past memories, they need to be severed because those voices are misleading God's people. They are misleading God's people. It's causing division in fellowships. It's causing things to happen and open doors of demonic activity. It's causing people to go astray because they're living in the soulish arena instead of the realm of the spirit. See, they consider the realm of the spirit to have a feeling. Satan's doctrine is if it feels good, do it. Do what you feel like. See, that's Satan's doctrine. Why? Because he knows he gets you on your memory, which memories of your past have voices, and these voices speak through emotion, desires, circumstances. All of these things are associated with memory. They will promote fear. Oh, I remember when that happened. Look out! Everything is associated with memory. In John chapter 8, remember, they did not understand because the voices of their soul were speaking louder than the voice of the Lord. The voice of what? Truth. The voice of truth was being drowned out by the voices of the soul. And they could not understand. Why? Because they could not hear the true voice of truth or the voice of the shepherd. In John 8 and verse 43, would you read it with me? He says, "Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father the what? Devil. And the desires of your father you want to do." Is that a desire? Yes. A want is a desire, isn't it? "He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not want to believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why you do not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God." Wow. See, now remember, self is the child of the devil. Self is an offspring of darkness, isn't it? So the enemy always wants to be able to control you or control his offsprings in self. If he can keep self alive, he's got you. Oh, it don't matter what you go through. It don't matter how many Bible studies you go through. It doesn't matter how much dancing you do. If self is still alive, you will always be misled. It must be crucified. And the voices of the soul must be cauterized. Is everybody all right? Self is a child of the devil with desires, attitudes, and motives. It stands in no truth. None whatsoever. It has no truth. You cannot convince self. You must rule over self. You don't matter what you do, you can't convince self. You can't compromise self. Has everybody got it? Is everybody all right? You cannot bribe self. Hello? There isn't anything that you can do to convince self of truth. That's all you can do is take dominion over it. All humanity is individually based on memory. To communicate in the present, not only with each other, but to communicate even with God. Now I'm going to share something with you. That means there's something that you and I must do. We must create new memories. Ah. We must create what? New memories. But they must be created with truth. They must be created with truth in the voice of the shepherd. Does everybody got it? He is called the Holy Spirit. Again, all humanity is individually based on memory to communicate in the present with each other. It establishes a character and personality trait. It establishes a character or personality trait that reacts according to the memory voice of deception. It reacts to the memory voice of deception or responds to the memory voice of truth. So when there's a reaction to something, that means you're reacting on something from past. But when you respond now, you're responding to the new created memories because they are of truth. So you will know by yourself whether you're more in reaction or response. You'll know what you're listening to. Again, this is why we talked Sunday about having to burn through the soul. Because the voices in the soul will cause an individual to be misled and deceived. It will cause an individual to be what? Misled and what? Deceived. So again, so new memories of the voice of truth must be created. Now listen to this. They are created by trials, circumstances, challenges. But see, when the voice of truth is lead, remember, who led Jesus into the wilderness? The Holy Spirit, right? He led him into the voice of truth led him into the wilderness to be what? Tempted. So when you are going through things in truth, in the Spirit, you know what's going to create? New memories. And you know what it's going to do? It's going to allow you to start cauterizing that voices of the soul of the old memories. Come on, are you getting this? John 17. John 17. John 17, verse 18. John 17, verse 18. Look at what Jesus says here. This is so powerful. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by what? By truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. The voice of truth will sanctify, purify, and separate you from the deception of memory. Come on now, grab hold of this. It will separate you from the deception of memory, emotion, and desire. The voice of truth will sanctify you. In other words, the voice of truth is going to nullify the areas that you've believed from past memories. It's going to take dominion in the area. It's going to cauterize that area of the voices in your soul. Did you ever have a desire you wanted to do something or something that you wanted so badly? I mean, because desires will speak louder than the voice of God. And after a period of time, you realize that that desire is gone. Well, it wasn't from God. Are you listening? It wasn't from God then. Hello? Now, a desire can stay there that's not of God also until it's removed, exposed. Does everybody understand that? See, when that voice of desire overtakes the voice of truth, you know it's not God. That's where people try to make things happen. Now, somebody will say, well, the Lord told me to do this. Was there confirmation? Well, I felt really this was what I was supposed to do. Was there confirmation? If there's not confirmation, then you wait. Of course, if you're in the street and the bus is coming at you at 90 miles an hour, you don't need confirmation. Get the heck out of the way. Right? There are certain things you don't need confirmation on. In other words, when that bucket comes by, you don't need confirmation whether you're supposed to put in or not. It's how much you're supposed to put in. In John 18:36. Is everybody there? Let's read it. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight. And he's talking about physically. So that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not of this world, not of here. Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? And Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I've come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Hears my... A king comes to bear witness of the truth. And those who know the voice of truth know him. What is truth? Pilate says. Look at this in verse 38. And Pilate said to him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, I find no fault in him at all. Well, that's because he was talking to the truth. There was no fault in truth. There is no fault in truth. He could not say anything about Jesus because he's the truth. Pilate couldn't find anything wrong with Jesus. What is truth? Jesus Christ is the voice of truth that became tangible, visible, and seeable. And I mean seeable through the eyes of flesh. See, if your belief system is flawed, because this is what how the devil operates, so if he can keep these voices in us of the memories of the past constantly speaking through emotion, feeling, and desires, that promotes a flawed belief system. A flawed belief system, because the voice of deception always will cause you to see or perceive things different than the truth. It will cause you to see things different than the truth. So somebody who's walking in truth explains something to you, you may not see what that person sees. That's why they didn't understand what Jesus was saying. Even when he gave them parables, he was trying to bring them a picture. They still didn't get it because the voices of the soul were louder than the voice of truth who stood right before them, their shepherd. And John 16. Oh, praise God. John 16 and verse 12. Look at what Jesus says to his disciples. He says in verse 12, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot what? Bear them now. In other words, you ain't going to understand them. You're not going to get it. See, many of them ran from Jesus because they didn't understand. When Jesus explained to them that they must eat his flesh and drink his blood, they flipped out.
This is a cult.
We get that a lot.
It's an occult place. Don't go there.
Just because we have a cul-de-sac. It's not a cul-de-sac. It's a cul-de-sac with homes. Hello. Wade's still getting that one. Wade, I'm going to use that until we're raptured. So, Wade sent out a newsletter one time and talked about all the houses we have in a cul-de-sac, but he made a mistake and put a cul-de-sac. So I was like, man, we got enough problems, man. You're telling people we have a cul-de-sac? 400 newsletters, you know. Hallelujah. Yeah, we have a cul-de-sac. No problem. Okay. Praise God. We had enough problems with our neighbors then, you know. But Jesus explained to them that they would not be able to understand. And so many times when people don't understand, it brings an uncomfortable feeling to them. It's because the voice of past memories is saying, it's uncomfortable because you don't understand. So they want to run to comfort. That's why even abused men or women, until they run back right to the abuser. Until revelation comes. I'm going to die. Well, some of them still go back and they're willing to die. Because it is a false comfort. Because now past memories have been installed in them that this is the way it is. To them it is such truth that they can't see anything else. There's nobody else that loves them. There's nobody else that cares for them. Has everybody got it? And they can't let them go because of the emotional attachment and that voice that speaks. And then when you say to them, well, did the Lord tell you to stay? Yes, he told me to stay. God did not tell you to stay and get beat up. God did not tell you to stay or be associated with that. Does everybody understand that? Same thing with people who've been ripped off. Hello? Don't go back to the same person that ripped you off. Come on. That's an emotional attachment. Amen? And that voice is saying something because it's a past memory. Well, I really love the person. Well, you can love them from a distance. Hello. I love you. Call you me later. Nevertheless, I have a lot of things to tell you, he says, but you can't bear them or understand them. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. The things that the Father has are mine, therefore I said that he will take of what is mine and what? Declare it to you. Does everybody get it? He's going to declare it to you. In other words, they couldn't understand the voice of truth until the Spirit of truth lives in them. That's through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, I must tell you that even though you can be baptized in the Holy Spirit, those voices can still speak louder. Paul wrote letters to Spirit-filled believers explaining this to them. Go to Romans 6. Romans 6, and verse 16. Paul writes to Romans. He says, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. In other words, he's expressing to these spirit-filled believers that they are still in an area of being led by the voices of the soulish arena. And in other words, that desire is speaking to them. They don't have dominion over it. It's not been cauterized. Hello. So they're still, their desires and their choices are still presenting themselves to sin as slaves of sin. Why are these spirit-filled believers still doing these things? Because they've not burned through the soul yet. They've not severed those things. Everybody got it? They have not cauterized. They've not been set loose of these emotional attachments of these past memories. Remember, past memories is what humanity lives by. Hallelujah. So what needs to be done? We need to create new memories in truth. Let's continue a little further. In verse 17. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, you obeyed from the what? From the heart, that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in what? Human terms. Why? Because they couldn't get it. He realized that they ain't getting it. So he's making it as plain and simple to these spirit-filled believers who are still in the soulish arena, not walking in the Spirit. Even though they were speaking in tongues, they weren't walking in the Spirit. See, the Bible says, walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit. There's a difference. These were spirit-filled believers that were still living in the soulish arena and not in the realm of the Spirit. They might have known about the things, but the soulish arena, was the voices of the soul, was still telling them what to desire, how to feel, what to think. Why? Because of the memories that were keeping them bound. Now, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanliness and of lawlessness, leading more to lawlessness, so now present your members of slaves of righteousness for holiness. That tells you that there is a choice. Choice is associated with will. Will. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of these things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. In other words, the choice of desire, the soulish desire that speaks, it is the voice of deception. It promotes self. And even these spirit-filled believers were still slaves of deception. Does everybody got it? And then what did he say? He says, what happened? You obeyed the word of God, the truth, in the heart, the voice of truth, removing them from their present evil. Because the word sin means presence of evil. So the voice of truth remove them from the presence of evil. Does everybody got it? And when you are removed from the presence of evil, are you able to see better? Are you able to hear better? Are you able to receive better? Are you able to obey better? Amen. See, so the enemy wants to maintain self to be alive in us so that the presence of evil and the voice of the stranger of the past memories is keeping us in deception and slavery. That's why we must sever these things. It's our responsibility. That's why you have the sword of the Spirit. It says sword of the Spirit, not the sword of the flesh, not the sword of thoughts, not the sword of the feeling. It is the sword of the Spirit. Amen? Praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the voice of truth. That's why the Bible says truth will set you free. Truth will set you free. But you know, there's a lot of people who know the truth, but they're not free. Because they can't practice it. Or they can't hear it. They may read it and know the truth. But they can't put it into practice. Because the voices in the soul are overtaking the voice of truth. So they know what to do, but they can't. Because they're always obeying past memories. Past memories. Past memories that speak loudly. Past memories. That's why when people get together and whatever, what about unforgiveness? Why do you think the devil loves to keep you in unforgiveness? What is it promoting? A past memory that's now put people in slavery. You're to forgive. Amen? No matter what. You're to forgive. If somebody's lied to you, you forgive them. If somebody stole from you, you forgive them. But it doesn't mean that you hang around with them. Because you got to trust is earned, isn't it? So you have to have wisdom in this, don't you? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Is everybody there? In verse 1. Look at, he says again. This is, now he wrote the church in Rome, and now he's writing to the church in Corinth. This is spirit-filled believers he's speaking to. And he says, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to what? Carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you are not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like what? Mere men. Again, these are spiritual believers still drinking milk. Not eating meat. So they didn't have the strength to burn through the soul. Because you can't do that on milk. Has everybody got it? You burn through the soul with the voice of truth. Because the milk can only sustain for a little while. Not enough high octane. Not enough high octane fuel to get through. To burn through the voices of the soul and cauterize them. You know, meat is associated with protein. You must have protein. Milk has some protein, but not compared to meat. Meat is solid. Milk is for babies because the digestive system cannot handle meat yet, so they drink milk. Is everybody okay? The digestive system, so that means things that you can only understand. So there's a point in time when it blows my mind that even some parents these days are still giving their kids milk in a bottle and they're 3 years old. And they're walking around with bottles. Believe me, that's going to affect that child later on in life. He'll be still looking for his binky. I got a real big binky at home. But it ain't for me. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 4. What does it say? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. A stronghold is a memory lie. Did you ever go to the doctor and he told you he had something? Did you tell him he had something? I'll never forget when the doctor told me. When I went in there and messed up my leg, and he said, man, you ain't going to be able to do nothing for 4 months. And you're going to always have an indentation in your leg. We were playing football on a Sunday. And I looked at him. And Susie turned around. I broke all the words off. No way. I'm going to walk as my father says I'm going to walk. See, the voice of truth says, you're healed. The voice of the soul says, fear. You're never going to walk again. You're going to go through this, and you're going to have to go through therapy, and you're going to have to go through this, and you're going to... That ain't no way! That happened on Sunday. Tuesday night, I was behind a pulpit similar to this. Laid the crutches over. And the Lord said to me, showed up, gave me a vision. Except for, he was in the boat. And he was in the boat. And I saw water. And he said, walk. And I put my foot down. And let me tell you, I almost went through the ceiling. Let's see. Then I remember what Peter said. He said, command me. So I said, I didn't have to say anything. He knew my thought. And he looked at me and commanded me to walk. And then I put one foot down. Everybody in the place was praying in the spirit. Put one foot down, put the other foot down, walked faster. Then I started running around the church. And man, my wife was happy because there was a lot of work she had for me to do. So what happened in this, I got out of the car, and I put the crutches on my shoulder, and there was she standing right at the front door waiting for me. She was like, hallelujah! See, because in this, I was not going to accept what the world says. They will put labels on you. You'll be so focused on those labels that those labels are emotional attachments now that speak to you louder than the voice of truth. And you'll be bound and a slave to those emotional voices. That's why people run to comfort. They run to comfort. They run back to medication. They run back to the psychics. They run back to wherever. They run back. They start off in the spirit. They run back to religiosity. It feels better. I don't have to work so hard. Because that emotional fear now. Fear. See, the enemy uses fear. That's his power. To prevent people from obeying the voice of truth. And fear is a protector of pride. Has everybody got it? And pride protects self. And anger protects fear. So when you see what happens down the line, it's like, whoa, and those are all emotions, aren't they? So each emotion protects each emotion, and those emotions are established for the emotional attachments because of past memories. I feel like this is a psychological course or something. But it's the voice of truth. That's why many clinical places don't know what to do with addicts. Because it's a spiritual problem, not a physical one. So they only can medicate them. That's all they know how to do. They've come up with that wonderful label these days, bipolar. Man, everything is bipolar. They must have got it from somebody, some Eskimo. I don't know. But I don't know where they got that from. Has everybody got it? I don't know where they got that from. Bipolar. Anybody tells you you're bipolar, say see ya. You're plum nuts. Anybody tells you you got bipolar, they got bipolar. Because that's a demon. Hello. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. These are memory lies. These memories have emotions, desires, a voice, and they will lie to you. It's in the soulish arena. But it says something very powerful. It says, we're to be pulling these strongholds down. And it says, verse 5, casting what? Down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the what? Knowledge of God, bringing what? Every thought. What's a thought? It's a memory. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So we're to cast down these memory lies of the voice of deception. Why? Because if you do not get rid of these things and cast them down, you will not be able to create new memories. See, so now we're to create new memories with the voice of truth. 2 Corinthians 3. You know, you might have been a young child and somebody said, man, you really stink at this sport. You'll never make it. Or you're just not smart enough. You don't think that's affected a child growing up? Even if they said, oh, I'm only kidding you. Let me tell you, that seed's been planted. That's why the Bible says, stop the coarse jesting. So when that happens, all of these things must be severed. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 4. Would you read it with me? For we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything of being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from what? God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the what? Spirit. For the letter kills and the spirit gives life. But if the ministry of death written and engraved on stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be what? More glorious. So we are in the ministry of the Spirit, not the soul. And there's too much soulless ministry in the body of Christ. It's way too much soulish. It's ridiculous. And that's why God is bringing us through stuff to burn this stuff through. That's why there's a lot of trials, tribulations, and all kinds of stuff going on. The ministry of the Spirit, not the soul or the flesh. See, disobedience, when people are disobedient, you know, it's amazing. I get so many people go up to people, oh, it's okay. Gucci, Gucci, goo. It's okay. God forgives you. Well, that person didn't even repent yet. How can God forgive them? Get out of the soul, man. You know, when people are worshiping the Lord and they're down weeping and crying, leave that person alone. Don't get soulish and go over there and start comforting them. That's God's department, not yours. When that person is broke and humble before God, let that person alone. Hello. That's soulish. Oh, let me go comfort that person. No, man. That's God dealing with that person. Since when are we God? There's a time for it, but it ain't then. You know, one of the things the Lord has shared with me, because, you know, we always have to check ourselves. And every decision and things that we do, we have to check ourselves. And so one day when I was talking to the Lord, I said, Lord, there's a decision that I made. I believe it was from you. And I want to know whether I was wrong. Was I not compassionate enough? And this is his response. Disobedience requires repentance and mercy, not compassion. I was like, whoa. Disobedience requires repentance and mercy, not compassion. Obedience requires grace and compassion. Has everybody got it? But disobedience requires repentance and mercy. So people, when they blow it and whatever, when they willfully go out and do stupid stuff or whatever, or they're willing not to be submissive, and when they get rebuked, they say, well, you're not compassionate enough. It didn't require compassion. It required repentance and disobedience, not compassion. Because you cannot promote disobedience. That is soulish. You correct it. Does everybody got it? You correct it. Jesus was compassionate on those who were sick and knew the truth. It wasn't because they were disobedient, but let me tell you something. He rebuked those who were disobedient. When the woman got caught in fornication, she came to him in repentance. And what did he do? He forgave her. Because repentance responded with mercy. Does everybody get it? See, when you repent, you are asking for mercy. Lord, forgive me. Have mercy on me. See, mercy says, consider me. So understand, when you are disobedient, when we are disobedient, do not look for compassion from someone that is soulish. You and I are to repent. It's required that we repent to get mercy so grace can be released, which is the plan of God. Disobedience requires repentance and mercy, not compassion. Obedience requires grace and compassion. Many still running on emotional feelings, and they're not being met. Their feelings are not being met. Then they collapse. They collapse because their emotional arena is not being met, because it's associated with past memories. And they begin to collapse and crumble. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Is everybody getting this? In verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. Let's read this together. Let no one deceive himself. If any among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or the life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ, and Christ is God's. Wisdom of the world puffs up the soul and promotes self and flesh. Does everybody got it? Now, there is a purpose to it, so that the wisdom of God begins to use the wisdom of the world. But the wisdom of the world should never use the wisdom of God. Never. The wisdom of God is to use the wisdom of the world. But the wisdom of the world cannot use the wisdom of God. If people are allowing the wisdom of the world to use the wisdom of God, it will not work. And that's where people crumble. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. While we're here. Is everybody there? Good. In verse 19 then. But I will come, says Paul, to you shortly, if the Lord wills, and I will know not the word of those who are puffed up, but the what? The power. See, he will know whether they're burning through the soul. He will know whether they're walking in the spirit or walking in the soulish arena. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What do you want? Shall I come to you with a rod? Or in love and a spirit of gentleness. So Paul was telling him, I'm going to either come and rebuke you, expose you, or I'm going to come in compassion. So I'm going to come and it's for you to become repentant, to receive mercy because of your disobedience, or I'm going to come in grace and compassion because of your obedience. Has everybody got it? You get to come out of the soulish arena and get in the spirit. That's what it's about. Getting in the spirit. Can you imagine if the whole body of Christ was walking in the spirit? What power and things that would be happening. Hallelujah. So we see here, Paul didn't want anything to do with the soulish arena. He wanted to know if they were walking in the power of the spirit that burns through the soul and walks in the spirit of truth. In Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Is everybody okay? In verse 1, Galatians 3:1. Now he writes to the church in Galatians. And these are believers, spirit-filled believers. He says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so, I'm going to say soulish, even though it says foolish, but are you so soulish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of the faith are sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations will be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Now again, I want you to grab hold of what faith is. Faith is spiritual sight. People can't walk in blind faith. There's no such thing. Faith is being able to see spiritually. People say they walk in blind faith. That's not faith. That's called assumption. And then they get angry with God because they say they're walking in faith, but it didn't come to pass. Well, I don't get it, Lord. I was walking in faith. You ain't walking in faith. You're walking in blindness. You're doing your own thing. Your desire of past spoke to you because of a desire. That voice of the stranger of desire, that emotion, said, do this. You don't need any confirmation. Go ahead and just do it and walk by faith. But you never saw it. You just did it. That's not faith. That's blindness. That's what we call assuming. Number one, law, never assume. Jesus said, I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it first. Oh, hallelujah. So they began in the Spirit, and now they were soulish and fleshly. I'm going to close in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 3, who has blessed us with every what? Spiritual blessing in where? In heavenly places where? In Christ. Now, before we go any further, I want to share something with you. So he just said you are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. You know, we had a discussion the other night, and I had a vision that was very powerful. And what I saw was these emotional attachments and these voices of the soulish arena of memories of the past keep us outside trying to look in. And I saw this long limousine. All right, I saw this long limousine, and the windows were tinted very dark. You couldn't see in. And the person that was emotionally attached to these voices of the soulish arena was running next to the limousine. And that limousine was of God. It was the Lord's limo. It was his place. It was spiritual places. And that person was running next to it and trying to look in and knocking on the door to try and get in and try and get in. But couldn't see in. But you know what? I saw the person already sitting inside. See, I saw the person already sitting inside. It's because of the false belief system, because of the voices of the soulish arena. That person believed they weren't in. Are you listening? That person actually believed that they were outside trying to get in when that person was already sitting there. person was already sitting. It's already in there. See, because when you're in, you're able to see out. But when you're out, you can't see in. And that's what the enemy loves to do to us. And it keeps a person in that position when the voices of the soulish arena or the memories of the past haven't been cauterized or severed. Are you listening? It keeps the person always wanting to get in or believing that they are not in when they already are. And that's how the devil operates. Let's go a little further. In verse 4, it says, just as he chose us, where? In him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. So, you're already in. You're already in, man. But see, these things, these voices in the soulish arena of the past memories that are speaking because they're not cauterized, are convincing you and lying to you. They're called strongholds, and they keep God's people outside trying to look in, and they can't see when they're already in. Some people are going to die never thinking that they're in, because they've agreed with the voice of deception and not living in the voice of truth. Oh, hallelujah. Let's go a little further. Verse 7. It says where? In him we have what? Redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. See, the voice of the soul that brings back those memories said, you're not forgiven. What you've done! Look what you've done! Don't you remember what you've done? Keeps that person walking. Oh God, I gotta get in. I gotta get in. Can't see in when the person's already in. His princess, his princes, his kings, his servants already in. Being chauffeured, being brought, but always believing that they're not in. And see, now they get tired. They begin to give up. And the limo gets further away from them. And the enemy steps in for destruction. Plants more memory lies, more bondages. Takes them as a slave. His purpose is to kill them and steal the will of God and their destiny. Remember, the Bible says that the devil is the most cunning beast God created. He outwits his opponents by trying to convince them that they're not in when they already are. And he brings guilt, condemnation, looking for comfort in the flesh, trying to find comfort in somebody else's words. When your comfort is from the comforter, because you're already in. Oh, glory. In him we have redemption through his blood for forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Verse 8, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. In him! In him, in that nice long limo being chauffeured to heaven, being chauffeured, walking in the Spirit, bringing us to places where you never thought you'd be able to go. Because you've been severed from the voices of the soul. You're no longer believing them anymore. In him, yes. Also, we have obtained a what? an inheritance. Verse 11. Being what? Predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him, there you are again, seated. In him, you also have trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. In him, in heavenly places. The voice of truth says to you in the limo, you're in. Amen. But the voice of deception says you're running next to the limo and can't see in because of the black tinted windows, because deception always brings blindness. But the voice of truth says you're inside looking out. But the voice of deception says you're outside trying to look in. In him, it is vital that these things be recognized. Remember, we are to create new memories with the voice of truth so that we can sever the voices of deception in the soulish arena of memory, emotion, and desire. It's our responsibility to cooperate with the truth that God has given us to do. Amen? The voice of truth. You're already in. Everyone say, I'm in. The devil's a liar. I'm tired of running outside. I'm not chasing that car anymore. I'm already in it. And to God be the glory. Now, Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Oh, hallelujah. Whew. Hallelujah. Help us, Master. Help us to see all the way through. Help us to come out of the soulish arena and not chase things of desire. Not chase things of emotion. Not chase things of memory. But be still, steadfast in the Spirit, and walk in you with the voice of truth. 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 In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Be blessed.